الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الشيطان يحذر أحدكم عند كل شيء من شأنه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين دروش شريف الله Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran explains to us the nature of shaitan. Inna shaitana lakum aduvun. Verily, shaitan is your enemy. As Muslims, we can never ever compromise with shaitan. Allah has given us this beautiful, clear-cut answer in the Quran. Inna shaytana lakum aduvun. The shaytan is your enemy. Fattakhidhuhu aduwa. And this is an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This sayra is amr, hukam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fattakhidhuhu aduwa. Treat the shaytan as your enemy. Make sure you take him as your enemy. فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًّا. You have to honor and respect your next door neighbor even though he is a kafir, even though he is a non-Muslim. You have to respect him as a human being. But not the shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًّا. Make sure in every case you take the shaitan as your enemy. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ. He is your enemy. فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًّا. So treat him as your enemy. Again, how do we treat the shaitan as our enemy, as our dushman? The answer to this question is also very, very simple. Respected brothers, as Muslims, the more we adhere to, the more we follow the pattern of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more we make amal on the sunnah of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more victorious we become. The more victorious we become in defeating the shaitan and the malicious strategy of the shaitan. Only by following the sunnah of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the sunnah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept noor. And in the system of shaitan is dalalah, gumrahi, darkness. And in sunnah is noor. And it is only through that sunnah, through the light, through that noor, that you can go straight through the net, the web, the snares of the shaitan, the traps of the shaitan. You can cut straight through. It is only through the sunnah. To fight the shaitan is very, very difficult. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it very, very easy for us. مَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَقُذُوهُ. Whatever the Nabi gives you, the hukam, the order from Rasulullah, take it. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. And when he stops you from something, make sure you stop. You have to stop. Only in the sunnah we can oppose and go against the shaitan. We take him as our enemy. That is why in one sahih hadith, in sahih Muslim, again, brothers must remember, the word sahih is not the Urdu sahih. What is it? It's not the Urdu sahih. It is disrespect to say, za'if, no words of Rasulullah, za'if. These are classical terms used only by the muhaddithin, used by the scholars. So Sahih Muslim and Sahih Bukhari is famous with that term. In Sahih Muslim, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَحْزُرُ أَحَدَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مِّنْ شَأْنِهِ. The shaitan is with you, present in your every affair. The shaitan is with you, present in your every affair. He is with you. In the hadith it comes, حَتَّى يَحْزُرَ عِنْدَ طَعَامِهِ. He is even with you whilst you are eating. Whilst you take your lunch, your breakfast, your meal. He is there with you, present. حَتَّى يَحْزُرَ عِنْدَ طَعَامِهِ. And our sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the same hadith says, if accidentally any lukma, any portion of the food was to fall down, as Muslims, what do we have to do? We have to pick it up. We have to pick it up, clean it if it is dirty, and eat it straight away. Why? Now look at the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith says that وَلَا يَضَعْهَا لِلشَّيْطَانِ. Don't even leave one lukma for the shaitan. One lukma. Don't even leave that for the shaitan, because if you leave it, subhanallah al-azim, the shaitan takes benefit from that lukma. That food, that portion, that lukma is reserved for the shaitan. The shaitan pollutes that lukma. That is why very, very quickly, take that one lukma and subhanallah consume it. وَلَا يَضَعْهَا لِلشَّيْطَانِ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hasn't even given shaitan the space of one lukma. One lukma, what is one lukma? And when you continue with the hadith, beautiful adab. Really, the lessons we learn from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is incredible. The teachings we receive from Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith says that when you complete your meal, when you have ate, make sure that you even lick your fingers. It is sunnah to lick your fingers. And the reason for that, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that when you say Bismillahi wa ala barakatillah, Allah puts barakah in that food. Barakah, shifa is put for you in that food, because you are saying Bismillahi wa ala barakatillah. So there is ni'mah, and Allah has put barakah in that food. So make sure even that lukma, even that one grain of rice slithering from your finger, make sure you lick that. Maybe Allah has kept shifa for you for that food particle that is on your finger. So these are the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even in this art of eating, etiquettes, adab of eating, we see again, even in the sunnah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned the word shaitan. وَلَا يَضَعْهَا لِلشَّيْطَانِ. Don't leave anything for the shaitan. The only way we are to defeat the shaitan, it is only through the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only through the sunnah. In the same hadith, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that فَلْيَأْكُلْ أَحَدُكُمْ بِيَمِينِهِ. Make sure you eat with your right hand. Make sure you eat with your right hand. And smoke a cigarette with your left hand. Now that is not hadith. That is not hadith. You eat with your right hand. وَلْيَشْرَبْ. And drink. بِيَمِينِهِ. Drink with your right hand. Eat with your right hand. Again, a lot of the brothers, subhanallah, we have to make sure that when we eat, sometimes what happens is that because the right hand is occupied and you want to drink something, so again the left hand comes in. That is shaitan. He's a master. So you are eating and then the left hand comes in and you've got drinks, water in your left hand, and you want to drink it. No, you can't do that. You have to drink with your right hand, eat with your right hand. فَلْيَأْكُلْ أَحَدُكُمْ بِيَمِينِهِ Eat with your right hand. وَلْيَشْرَبْ بِيَمِينِهِ Drink with your right hand. And then, فَلْيُعْتِي بِيَمِينِهِ And give with your right hand. Give. When you give anything, you want to give keys, give it with your right hand. This is the adab. When you want to give charity, give with your right hand. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that Al-Yadul Ulya Khairun min Yadis Sufla. The upper hand is better than the lower hand. Meaning to say with the upper hand you give, and the lower hand you take, you receive. So that hand that gives is better than that hand that receives. Hadith. And when you handle anything, وَلْيَأْخُذْ بِيَمِينِهِ If you touch anything, make sure if you are going to carry anything, it has to be with the right hand. Alhamdulillah, as Muslims, hopefully we do amal on that. And it is very important as for our young ones, the child when he is young, 2 years old, 3 years old, mothers and sisters listening at home, sometimes the child has this habit of handling things with the left hand, picking up things with the left hand, eating with the left hand. It is up to the parents to take note of that. It is very, very important. Otherwise, if he gets used to the right hand, then when he grows up, he will write with his left hand. His main hand will become the left hand. So we have to make sure the child is nurtured in the right way. Everything should be in the right hand. Again, why? Look at the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A system that breaks the system of shaitan. On one side we have the system of shaitan, and on one side we have the sunnah. We have the sunnah. On one side we have the shayateen, the iblis. On one side we have anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, rahmah. And malaika, the angels, rahmah. On one side we have jannat, and on one side we have jahannam. On one side we have something that is sweet, on one side we have something that is salty. Subhanallah, and this is the nature. On one side there is something that is classed as being male, and the other one is a female. وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا This is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Emphasis is given everything in the hadith only in the right hand side. Wuzu, right hand side first. If you want to wear your kurta, izar, whatever, put your right hand in first. Your watch on the right hand, because this is ni'mah. Make sure it's on the right hand. So I'm not saying it's farz and wajib, but I'm saying it should be on the right hand. For some who are lefties, that's different, but it should be on the right hand. Subhanallah. Why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying in a hadith, فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ Because the shaitan يَأْكُلُ بِشَمَالِهِ The shaitan eats with his left hand. وَيَشْرَبُ بِشِمَالِهِ The shaitan drinks with his left hand. وَيُعْتِي بِشِمَالِهِ The shaitan gives with his left hand. وَيُخَذْ بِشِمَالِهِ And the shaitan takes with his left hand. For the shaitan, everything is the left hand side. And for the mu'min, everything is the right hand side. That is why the only way we are to defeat the shaitan, and Quran is saying, فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا is to follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A lot of people fear jinns. Mawlana Sahib, what will happen? Can the jinns come to us? And this subject came out because of the dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubusi wal-khaba'is. Khubus is the male jinn and the khaba'is is the female jinn. And from there, this topic became very, very interesting and we went deep into that topic. And we are still on the same subject. But the more you are active in your Islam, subhanallah, the more you have the power to defeat the shaitan, the jinns can't come close to you. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullah alayh, a man came to him and he said, Hazrat, that there is a young lady there and she has been possessed. A jinn is inside her. Hazrat Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said, take my champal and just show my champal to her. And they took Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal's shoes, chappal, whatever, sandals, and the father showed the chappal to that girl, and that girl started to scream, "Yes, I am coming out, this chappal belongs to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal." This is Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullah alayh, Buzruk Musnade Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Great scholars. It is said regarding Mufti Mahmood Sahab, Mufti Mahmood, who passed away in South Africa, the Khalifa of Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya rahmatullah alayh, who did his khidmat for 40 years, and after 40 years he got Khilafat. He was a great amil. He said, if he was in India, and if a jinn was in Pakistan or in Bangladesh, and he would be there sitting in India, and he would say, "Nikal jao," and when he would say, "Nikal jao," the jinn would be out from there. He was a amil. This is the fear they had. This is the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to pious people. So the more muttaqi you become, subhanallah, the more your immune system becomes strong. Spiritually, physically, you become strong. So the shaitan prefers everything that is on the left hand side, and for a mu'min everything is on the right hand side. So even when you sleep, the starting point when you go to sleep, it should be in the right hand side. And when you're sleeping, if you float around in the bed, some people have a water bed. I had a friend of mine and he said to me that, "Mawlana, why don't you come and try the water bed? No. The hard bed is better than the water bed. Then there is no fun in swimming. Because you're swimming every night. So this is dunya, tarakki for us. If this is dunya, my respected brothers, then imagine what is jannat. Subhanallah al-Azim. Jannat. Subhanallah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us guidelines in everything. Every move that we do. Aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in one hadith, "Wal-ujlatu min ash-shaytan." Jalbazi is from shaitan. Haste is from shaitan. To rush into things, it is from shaitan. That is where blunder comes in. Mistakes comes in. To rush into things without thinking. I'm very, very fast. It's not a matter of being fast. You have to calculate everything. And this is what is in the hadith. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, "Wal-anatu min Allah." And that person who thinks over every action to pre-plan before you plot, that is to sutta. To pre-plan before you plot means al-anatu min Allah. To deliberate, to think, to concentrate, to meditate first before you do something, that is sunnah. Not to rush into things. One sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to smile. Isn't that a sunnah? It's a sunnah. And some people, subhanallah, Allah has blessed them with a face that they only smile. They only smile. And this is a ni'mah. When you look at them, the face is such that it's always smiling. And this is a sunnah. Kana Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yadhaq. Ek hai muskurana, to smile. Or ek hai thatha marna, to laugh. Now that is not healthy spiritually. But to smile is the sunnah. And these are the physical features of a human being. One is to smile. And the other thing is to yawn. Aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith has mentioned that at-tasa'ubu min ash-shaytan, to yawn, that is from shaitan. Yawning is from shaitan. In a hadith it comes when a person says, "Ha." What does he say? Ha. You know, they say, "Ha." That is ha. Ha. When he says ha, dahika shaitan. The shaitan laughs when he says ha. Because this is a sign of being lazy, idle-minded person. And that is what the shaitan wants. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith, from this hadith we learn that we have to restrain ourselves from yawning. Why? Yawning is from shaitan. Every sunnah you see, it is there to defy. It is there in defiance of the policy of shaitan. We are not to yawn, we are to smile. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his entire life, he has never ever yawned. Never. This is the mu'jiza, the miracle of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. The prophets have never ever yawned. Never ever. Because this is from shaitan. This is from shaitan. And it is very, very hard, my respected brothers, to overpower shaitan. You are fighting with something that is invisible, an invisible force. That is why even the name jinn in Arabic, jinn and noon, generally refers to things that is something that you can't see, to the unseen. The naked eye can't see. For an example, in Arabic, the human embryo, the fetus, in Arabic it is known as janin, jinn and noon. Jinn and noon, janin. You can't see a janin, the human embryo. Allah has sealed that. That human embryo, that child is sealed in the womb of the mother. That is why in Arabic it is known as janin. So the khafiyat, the word jim and noon, means something that you can't see. Janin, when someone is insane, what's the word in Arabic? We even use this term in Urdu. Junoon. MashaAllah, Khalid, you've been doing your homework, eh? MashaAllah, kya kare, that's tawazu. Junoon. Junoon. Again the word, jim and noon. Insanity, you can't see insanity. Pagal pana, you can't see, because that is in the mind. Sometimes the actions are not right, but the real junoon is in the mind, you can't see. Jim and noon. Jannat. Jim and noon. You can't see Jannat with the naked eye. Jinnat, junoon, janin, Jannat. These are Arabic. The Arabic language is unique, my brothers. To fight against the shaitan, the jinnat, the non-Muslim jinn is very, very hard. Aap alayhi salatu was salam was in i'tikaf. It was at night, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha came to visit Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very happy to see her. Huzur alayhi salatu was salam was doing i'tikaf. Aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was with her, speaking with her, and he came just outside near the sand of Masjid Nabawi. He was there. Hazrat Safiya was standing in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all of a sudden, two Ansari Sahaba passed by from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam straight away stopped them. Stopped there. And he continued talking with Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he looked at the two companions and he said that, this is only my wife, Hazrat Safiya, that I am talking to. This is only my wife, Azwaj Mutahharat, the mother of the Ummah. This is only Safiya, my wife, I am talking to. Subhanallah al-Azim, the companions started to cry. Ya Rasulullah, Allahu Akbar, can we even cast doubt for a second against your status, your authority, your integrity, your risalat? You are the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our aqeedah is that even minor sins don't come close to you. How can we even think like that? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at the companion and he said, no, the shaitan is very, very powerful. And these are the words. And this hadith is in both of the Sahih. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَجْرِي مِنَ الْإِنسَانِ مَجْرَ الدَّمِ. The shaitan flows inside the human body like how blood flows in the human body. Like how blood circulates in the entire body, it is important. Similarly, the shaitan flows inside your whole body. And even later on, if for a second that suspicion came in your mind that who was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talking to, your iman was in danger. Subhanallah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is even doing islahiyah, saving the companions from the shaitan, and even giving us that information, that knowledge, that how the shaitan works. You can't see the shaitan. He is very, very powerful. And in this hadith we have to learn also, my respected brothers, that from this hadith we learn that the hijab, the parda, was prevalent in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, the companions would recognize Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala. What was the need for Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam to stop them and to explain to the companions that, look, this lady in the burqa, who I am talking to, who has covered herself up, she is not any ordinary lady, she is my wife I am talking to. This is parda, burqa, and today a lot of our sisters, mothers, even when they wear a scarf, it is just perhaps to attract other people. The scarf is there to cover your body, mothers and sisters that are listening at home. Sometimes the clothes is so skin tight that the entire body is exposed. And it seems as if they want that natural attraction for the opposite sex to see them. And the scarf is just there, so tight, pinned up, strapped up. And now even the scarf becomes fashion. And if you go to Saudi Arabia, I've seen scarf with Calvin Klein on it. What is it? I forgot your shairi, I left it in the other pocket. Calvin Klein scarf. What is it? Calvin Klein scarf. I haven't got the shairi with me. The brother wrote some English poetry for me. Very, very nice. And this is the condition of our sisters today. We should take pride in the teachings, in the Islamic gear, in the Islamic code of dressing, what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. We should take pride. Wearing skin-tight clothes, every body, every part of your body is exposed when you go out. That beauty should be balanced. It is only there for the husband. Women are not cheap. Allah has given them honor. Honor, Allah has given them honor. That is why Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith which is in Tirmizi Sharif, Al-mar'atu awratun. Al-mar'atu awratun. Awratun. Awrat is an Urdu word, but it actually comes out from the Arabic. Al-mar'atu awratun. Woman is something that should be concealed. Now, concealed doesn't mean that you are deprived from everything and it's like being in a jail, you can't go out. No, no, Allahu Akbar. It means that you have to wear the right gear when you go out. Make sure your clothes are loose. The Sahabiyat would wear a chadar when they went out. Make sure all the clothes that are on, they are not there. So, in a voluptuous way to attract other men folks. If that is the case, subhanAllah, then there is no reward. We pray salah, but our clothes are not right. Women are sweet and beautiful, and they have to balance their beauty. Balance their beauty. And when you look at parda in Islam, subhanAllah, it seems that parda and jihad are the backbone of Islam. What is it? Parda and jihad. It is the backbone of Islam. The minute you eliminate and expel jihad and parda from Islam, everything falls down. And this is where the shaitan is going. I'm not saying cover yourself, but I'm saying, subhanAllah, it's not easy to cover your face. Though if one does, subhanAllah, that is elite, that is the highest parda. But slowly, at least when you go out, make sure your clothes are such that your body parts are not exposed. Every garment, every material that you are wearing is not thin, but thick and loose. So men can't actually figure out how you are physically. That is parda. Otherwise, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned one hadith of sallallahu. Even when you see, if you take in too much sweets, my brothers, it's very nice. Some people have a sweet tooth. They like everything that is sweet. Sweet is good. Everybody enjoys it. But if you eat too much sweet, without balance, what happens? Your teeth can rot. You might even have diabetes. You might become diabetic. Everything in balance is right. And living in England, what do they say? If you have beauty, show it. What do they say? If you have beauty, show it. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Then give me the PIN number of your bank card, your debit card. You won't. It's personal to you. You go on Melton Road, you know the jewelry shop. How many alarms you'll see in every shop? In every jewelry shop there'll be about 10 people working there. Because it's gold, very expensive. Not every stone is gold, not every stone is diamond. More valuable than diamonds and gold is a woman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. We have to wear the right gear. And we are in the time today where when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned one hadith that a time will come. And imagine to predict and to, in the time of Ashab-e Kiram, Sahaba-e Kiram ajma'in, Aab sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith that women will wear clothes but at the same time they will be naked. They will have clothes on, but at the same time they will be naked. Today we can see that. Clothes are on, but so tight, so tight, so tight. They want to show off. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Or otherwise they've got clothes on, but it is transparent. It is transparent, you can see straight through it. And in the name of fashion, everything is there. And it is affecting our young sisters, the young generation, the ones who go to school, universities. You see them. The father is naive. The girl is in Regent's College. When she goes from the house, she's got a scarf on. And she's wearing a jabba. But the minute she reaches the school, the university, some of the university boys talk to me and they say, Maulana Sahab, if you come in our university, in our college, and when you look at the condition of our Muslim sisters, you will want to cry. You will want to cry when you look at Muslim women sisters. You'll cry your heart out. That the greatest fitna is there. Muslim women. Nobody knows anything. The fathers are naive. The maulanas are naive. Everybody, subhanAllah, shaitan is so powerful. But you look at the, when you go inside, you see what is happening. Allah give us the tawfiq that we have our own schools, my respected brothers. Our own schools. We have to educate our women also, men also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to make amal on the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.